Hello and welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. This is Rav, your host. How are you all today, wherever you are in the world? I hope you are well. I hope you're looking after yourselves. I hope, like me, you've just been enjoying a little bit of a break and respite from all things football and injuries and Arsenal stumbling in the title chase and all the media coverage that accompanies it and stuff. I've relished it a little bit. Yes, I've spoken about it at length in previous podcasts. If you're a repeat listener, however, I'm also now at the other end of it. Like there's been such productive things happening in the last few days, which I'm going to get into in this podcast. There's a real buzz now building. We are back in 2 days' time. Well, at the time of recording this post, we will be kicking off against Fulham in 2 days' time in the Premier League. And then next week, of course, the big one, the biggest of all, Real Madrid Champions League quarterfinal. I cannot wait. I wish I could flick the TV on now and watch it. I'm absolutely keen. So there's a lot to look forward to as well. It's a very, very big time at the club. It really is. And sorry for the long waffle, the long intro, because I've got a fair bit to cover today. I haven't recorded a podcast since early last week, and that was, I guess, mostly a byproduct of there's not that much majorly happening from an Arsenal perspective day to day. Of course, there are no matches sort of to build up and then reflect on and discuss. So if you're like me, the main priority for me during the international break was to make sure no one else gets injured, right? I think we're all sick of that. I think we're all fed up. We've certainly had our fair share of bad luck this season. I'm hoping with the Calafiori injury, and it just interestingly, it remains to be seen what the severity of that is. It's gone quiet on that, and I believe Arteta is due to speak his press conference later tonight. So I'm sure we'll hear more about it. But the point I was trying to make was that aside from Calafiori, I think everyone else is kind of back and available again. No more so than the sight of Bukayo Saka smiling in training. Like, what an image that was. I cannot properly explain just how happy it made me feel. I don't know if he's ahead of schedule or not. However, it's just been rumoured in recent weeks. You saw little snippets come out, and Arteta himself, I believe, he confirmed something along the lines of that Bukayo is on the grass, right? So what that means, of course, is that in recent weeks, he probably has been training, obviously on a different schedule, on a different load to the other players, but he would be there. He would be there as the main group is training. He would join in some of the, very basic drills, the warm-ups. He'd be just getting his body moving and going. He's not obviously doing the match simulations and all the stuff that we see released by the club on social media and YouTube and whatnot, and they're always very keen to compress and not reveal who actually is fully participating in that style of training, because the players that do engage in that, you know that they're match ready, that they're match fit. So he would have been there. He would have probably been there for a little while. I believe there was a little rumor. I'm not sure if it was Charles Watts who said it. I believe it was. He said that there was a feeling that if Arsenal were still in a title race, and if there were, I guess, if the England friendlies, if there was more jeopardy involved in it, if there were matches of more significance, that he potentially would have been included in the international day squad, which was like, wow, maybe he's a lot more ahead of time than we all anticipated. And that probably leans into why the club chose to publish those photos, because if these rumours were circling, if it was going to come out anyway, you may as well get on the front foot, right? Bukayo posted on Instagram as well, that smiling photo with just the lovely caption, "Hello again." It was amazing. Just made me so happy. I woke up and I saw that image. It was sent to me on WhatsApp first, actually. And it just brought me so much joy. Bukayo Saka, if you're a prior listener, to my podcast, but I have such an affinity for him. It's strange, right? I'm all the way over here in Melbourne, Australia, right? I feel so protective over him. It's the parental instinct, yes, but however, there's something uniquely special about him? Yes, aside from the obvious that he has been at Arsenal since he was 7, 8 years old, and like what a wonderful story for his family, for the club, all throughout youth level, all the coaching, the support, all the people along the way who have helped nurture and develop him into the magnificent player and human being he is now, right? So, of course, that's the obvious thing. It goes deeper than that. There's something about Bukayo Saka. Well, I guess I should touch on the name itself, right? Bukayo is of Yoruba origin, southern Nigeria, in the region of southern Nigeria. And I think it's loosely translated into English to bring joy or to add joy, something to that extent. And you couldn't encapsulate a more perfect name for him, because he really does capture the essence of what his name represents. He brings me a lot of joy because he's a wonderful player, but more so, just there's something uniquely special about him. It's just as a human being, he's very, very, very gracious person, very humble, very respectful, deeply admired by all of his teammates, his coaches. There's something clearly special about him, and it's tangible on what I see, how he conducts himself, how he represents himself through sometimes ridiculous situations, circumstances, right? The penalty miss in the Euros. I mean, you don't need to dive too deep into understanding the root causes of that hatred he copped, right? It was just purely disgusting racism that unfortunately just. It hasn't been eradicated again, as we've seen recently with Miles as well, right? But I try and keep this topic a bit more positive, even though we all know that the seedy, the disgusting undercurrent to it, right? But with Bukayo, there's a way that he handles himself, and I'm just really proud of him. I'm proud of the way he represents Arsenal. Like, what a wonderful ambassador for the club he is. And in terms of this, I use inverted commas here, project, that word gets thrown about a lot, right? He really is the face of this project, him and Arteta. Arsenal's resurgence, our revival to back where we are now over the last 3, 4 years, right? He's at the forefront of that. He very much represents Arsenal in so many more ways than just on the field. And I'm so glad to have him back, because what a blow it was, and probably didn't truly appreciate the extent, the impact it would have on Arsenal when he injured his hamstring. I believe it was late December. It was definitely before Christmas. It was probably in that run of fixtures around the sort of 20th-ish of December, pardon me, before the schedule gets really, really hectic, you know, after Christmas, Boxing Day, the New Year. So we probably didn't anticipate it at the time, and maybe there was a pathway out of it, thinking that if we can keep everyone else fit, and if this happens, if that happens, if we strengthen in January, maybe, you know, we'll be okay. But the cascade events, the domino effect it had after that, culminating in January and then not being active in the market, it's unfortunately largely killed our Premier League season. And we now find ourselves... I still feel we will finish second. However, we just not got to make sure we don't spiral out of control, and that will lead me into my next point against Fulham. But before I delve too much into that, it's great to have Bukayo back. I do think he will play some minutes against Fulham when I'm looking at the schedule. So we've got Fulham in 2 days' time, then on the weekend. Just looking at the timings now. Yes, your daylight savings adjustment and kickoffs time. So I will have to adjust my internal body clock accordingly. 10:30 p.m. Saturday night, Melbourne time. That's not bad, actually. I'll make that happen. Sorry, I'm thinking out loud here, right? But I'm looking at the schedule, and we've got, say, Fulham first up, then Everton. Strangely enough, you know, Liverpool have the same two fixtures, but in reverse order, midweek and then on the weekend. And then, of course, it's the big one, Real Madrid. So I anticipate if the plan is that he wants to start against Real Madrid, and I can tell you what, without having to speak to Bukayo directly, but him being the face of this project, him working, he would have been working his tail off the last few weeks earmarking that Real Madrid tie. Real Madrid at home, Emirates Stadium, packed stadium, Champions League quarterfinal, or he's the face of this club. His friends, his family, all been there to see. He would do everything. He would have been doing everything he possibly could to make sure he's ready and fit to participate in that match. And as it turns out, I actually do think he will start. But touch wood, you know, barring no setbacks or anything over the next few days, over the next week, I do believe he will start that match. Could we get 55, 60 minutes out of him? Fantastic. Like that'll be brilliant. Real Madrid, Bukayo Saka, he changes the dynamics. He changes everything because he's a game changer. He's that good. And the energy and the enthusiasm that he brings, it's going to permeate through the entire club, or through the entire institution, throughout the entire crowd. Just wait until he warms up on the sidelines. When he starts to get his jacket off, right, to come on against Fulham, maybe he can do 10, 15 minutes, I don't know. Maybe he can do 20 to 25 against Everton, perhaps. That might be, I guess, the broad plan in the background. But just wait for the reception he's going to receive. It's going to be brilliant because he very much, he's the essence, he's the fabric of Arsenal Football Club. I'm so proud of him. I have such an affinity for him. And I just wish him nothing but the best, because if anyone deserves, it's him. And I want him there. Aside from stating the obvious, you need your best players playing in the biggest matches against the best clubs. So that's just stating the bleeding obvious. However, for him, I just feel so much just having him on the pitch. And I'm really, really proud. Like, what a wonderful human, what a wonderful person who represents our club. And I'm sure the club is monitoring this very closely, right? Because you don't want to do anything too hard too soon that then throws into doubt his participation for the remainder of the season. So I'm just very, 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 very reassured just even seeing that photo. So let's see how involved he will be at Fulham first, and we'll go from there. Speaking of Fulham, they suffered quite an unusual heavy defeat over the weekend in the FA Cup, and they're out. So there's two schools of thought here. Sometimes you can immediately think, oh, it's a really good time to play them, right? Because they're down in the dumps, and you know we can kick them while they're down, so to speak. But the opposite effect of that is, like, when you suffer a heavy defeat, you want to be playing again ASAP. You look into the next match, you want to respond, and you channel that annoyance, anger, frustration, and you want to go out and make a statement. And just look, this, depending on which side of the coin you land on, there can either be a good thing or a bad thing. However, one thing that's apparent is that Fulham are a bit of a bogey team. Fulham and Everton, actually, they cause problems for Arsenal, and they have done so for a number of years. Obviously, there's a big ex-Arsenal collection there, and Smith Rowe, you know, I certainly hope he doesn't have anything in his back pocket to send our way as some sort of, you know, message for letting him go, and he was squeezed out of this project. They do cause me concern. So does Everton at Goodison. These are not easy fixtures. They're just not easy games. We've had a lot of trouble overcoming these types of matches. Aston Villa's another one. Right, it's just there's no easy 3 points, and we're going to have to be at our best, and I think we will be, because we've had the benefit of a couple of weeks break, and not everyone travelled, of course, on international duty. Timber, I believe, was unwell, so he sat out the Netherlands matches. I don't believe it's a serious illness, so he's expected to be fit to play. Gabriel, he came back early because of a yellow card suspension. He wasn't eligible for Brazil's second match. And boy, did it show, because they got thumped by Argentina. But Gabriel was safe and comfortable back in London, just resting, recuperating, readjusting, reacclimatizing from the time zones and the jet lag. And he's just been able to put his feet up at the club the last week or so. So I think we should get the 3 points. We really should, because it's just, I think a few things now have gone in our favour, and there is a bit of momentum just starting to be engineered at the club, between just some results, and Bukayo Saka is now back in training, as I've mentioned already at length. And the other bit of news, which is really just, it's just getting that buzz, that feeling going again. So Andrea Berta has been officially announced. He was officially announced last night, well, Australian time. And already this morning, what was very, very interesting is that David Ornstein and James McNicholas Gunnerblog from The Athletic, they both posted references to Victor Gyökeres. I had to pause to make sure I get his name correctly, because it is a bit, the first times I've tried to say it, I've always botched a bit. Gyökeres is, they haven't said the words such as number one target or whatever. They Ornstein himself has always intimated that Isak is the jewel in the crown for Arteta. So all of a sudden now, Berta's come in less than 12 hours later. I mean, timing is important here, that these details matter. Then publicly, it's been made aware that Arsenal are targeting Victor Gyökeres. Now, I'm not going to profess that I know him intimately or watch him every week, just the same thing with Benjamin Sesko, who, by the way, I do still believe that's the most likely transaction that gets done this summer in terms of filling that striker hole. However, all of a sudden, this is interesting because Berta, he has the profile in Europe. He has the relationships. He has the experience. He would have the contacts, all sorts of intermediaries and agents and advisors. He would have all of that. Right, and because he would have dealt with all of these people before, and he knows how to coordinate a transaction at the big boy table. When I say a big boy table, is that you need someone in the room who can speak with authority, who has been delegated the power to make decisions as negotiations, you know, they advance, and it sometimes gets to critical details, right? When it gets to a bit of back and forth and you start to sort of try and massage in a bit of a price discount here or a payment structure there, you know, all these, it needs composure. It needs someone experienced, needs someone senior, like very, very senior, of course. And to have someone in the room like Andrea Berta, this makes all the difference. I'm really pleased that we've taken this decision to seek an external candidate, right? The whole Jason Ayto thing, you know, I don't do that on this podcast, as you may be familiar with. I don't go in on people. That's just not my thing. I'm not even going to profess to know the true inner workings of what happened and why during January and whatnot. However, I also speak from experience, having been in the corporate world myself. Sometimes when there's someone relieving a position, you're talking to someone who is, it's a bit like the substitute teacher at school, right? There can be a sense of not really taking it seriously or not really taking them seriously. Or even if you know that someone else is going to be incoming into the chair in time, sometimes you just wait. It's like, yeah, cool, that's all good. We'll pick this up when that new appointment is made. So there's so much more to it than what meets the eye, certainly from the outside looking in. And the truth is, we'll probably never fully know, right, the extent of what happened during January. And we can all speculate and rationalize it in our own ways, as I myself have tried to in previous podcasts. However, Andrea Berta, all of a sudden, he changes the dynamics because he's available now as well. This is the important part. Some of the other candidates, they're still employed with other clubs. Gardening leave, transition phases, you know, having to wait for them to June, July for their tenure to cease elsewhere, depending on their contracted obligations. It just doesn't work for the club because we have so much to do. So much, right? We've got renewals to undertake, Gabriel, Saliba, Saka. We have outgoings to manage. I do believe there'll be a few exits from the club this season. We probably all know the names that will likely be linked to the likes of, say, you know, maybe Kiwior, Zinchenko, Partey and Jorginho are likely departing on frees. Zubimendi heavily linked to Arsenal by Ornstein himself. He himself has said something along the lines that he's not really aware of the Real Madrid interest being as advanced as it's been circulated in Spanish media. So, you know, there's a lot to do. There's so much to do. And the fact that he's available now, starting now, it's great for the club. He needs this next few months of runway to coordinate, pull the strings accordingly, right? Get deals done, incoming, outgoing, extensions. It is fantastic for the club, and this makes a difference, right? It just changes the energy, changes the focus, right? Arsenal, yes, unfortunately, our title chase has fizzled out. However, there's a red hot chance in the Champions League. You never know. We made the final with Flamini at left back in 2006, right? Anything is possible. As unlikely as it is, and I spoke to this last time as well, the whole head versus heart conundrum, as unlikely as it is, and I'm still a realist, right? But when that Champions music gets played, next week it's a 5 a.m. kickoff here. I'm gonna struggle to sleep that night. I'm gonna be up at probably my body clock naturally adjusts, right, when I know that there's a match on. So I'm gonna be up probably 3:30, 4 o'clock, right? And at some point I'm gonna have to sneak out and not wake anyone up. And when I put the TV on in pitch blackness and have my headphones in, listening to that Champions League music as the teams line up, the Emirates is packed, and I see Real Madrid. I see Mbappe, Vinny Jr., Bellingham, great, great, great names of the world game. And then the camera will pan over and I'm going to see the likes of, I'm getting chills just thinking about it, the likes of Odegaard with a point to prove against his old club. Declan Rice, this is what he signed for. He signed for these moments. He chose Arsenal and Arteta over City because he wants to be there at the Emirates Stadium against the best team in the world, the greatest European team that we've ever seen, right, in terms of their history and their pedigree. Bukayo Saka, hopefully, there as well. It's going to be amazing. Saliba, Gabriel, David Raya. I'm buzzing just thinking about it. This is what we are here for. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. And momentum matters. Energy matters. Mindset, it all matters. And we are starting to turn the wheel. We've had such a down 6 to 8 weeks, right? We really have. Not just the injuries, but then just setbacks that even I didn't see coming, such against West Ham and then United not being able to win those key Premier League matches, and the title chases fizzled over. But we've earned our way. Like, we deserve to be there in the Champions League. We've earned it. From a very strong European campaign, didn't concede a goal at home. And I certainly hope that continues, because that's the bedrock of a successful European campaign. We deserve to be there. We've earned our way. We earned those two matches off by finishing so high in the group stage. We deserve, the players deserve it, the club deserve it, the fans deserve to be there. And I cannot wait. And anything is possible, especially with that man back, Bukayo. Anything could happen. He has been waiting for a fixture like this, right? This is what he has been building up to over recent years. All the players who have been there, you know, Liger from the start, Gabriel, Martinelli, then obviously, you know, Odegaard, Ben White, that they came a season after in that big wave when we were very active in the transfer window. But some of these players, they've been all gearing up for this. They've all been waiting. And I cannot wait for that match to start. Anything is possible. Just as much as I also want to curtail my excitement, because I know the challenge ahead of us, I know who we're up against. If you can't get yourself up and going for this match, then maybe I'm not sure what else will. Because we Champions League against Real Madrid. Yes, please. Yes, 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 please. I cannot wait. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. As you can probably tell, right? If you've put up with that big ramble I just went on, I'm absolutely keen for it. I hope you are too. Let me know what your plans are. Where are you going to be watching the match? Or if you're lucky enough to be there, please reach out to me, right? I'd love to hear your thoughts and your experiences. I'll be back on in a couple of days' time post Fulham, hopefully talking about a resounding Arsenal victory back in the Premier League. Until then, just once again, to everyone who continues to listen, send kind words and feedback my way. Thank you so much. I read every single word. It really does mean a lot to me. Please reach out if you've got any questions or comments or any feedback, anything you want me to address in my next episode or future episodes. Please do reach out. I'd be so grateful for a like and subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. If you're listening on audio platforms such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts, A review, ideally 5-star, please, right? A review really does make a difference. I've noticed on Spotify, I've now got a couple of 5-star reviews. Thank you so much if that was you. I really do appreciate it. Just helps boost engagement and visibility. And for a bloke in his mid-40s like me who loves talking about Arsenal, and I can hop on and record with a microphone, this sort of stuff, and have people listening all across the world, it really does mean a lot. So thank you so, so much for being here. Look after yourselves. I hope it's a fantastic return to Premier League action for Arsenal. It's exciting time for the club. So, yep, look after yourselves. Be careful what you consume. Don't get drawn into any or the crap that people throw Arsenal's way. You know, be mindful of what you consume and choose to participate in. Look after yourselves and come on, Arsenal.